The CBJ Assembly made appointments to the Planning Commission and Bartlett Regional Hospital Board of Directors at a special meeting last night. Dr. Nathan Pyman was reappointed to a physician seat on the hospital board, while Bob Storer was reappointed to a public seat, and Nancy Davis was appointed another public seat. All three will serve three-year terms starting in January. Jerry Medina was appointed to a vacant seat on the Planning Commission starting immediately and ending December 31st, 2013. Incumbents Nicole Gruey and Marsha Bennett and newcomer Karen Laufer were appointed to three more seats. They'll serve three-year terms starting in January. A cigarette maker says a jury in Bethel has returned a unanimous verdict in its favor in a smoking death lawsuit. Philip Morris USA announced in a release that the jury verdict came yesterday. Dolores Hunter of Marshall accused Philip Morris USA Incorporated of making and marketing cigarettes, even though they knew the products were addictive and caused cancer. She was the common law wife of Benjamin Francis. The complaint, which sought more than $100,000, said he died in 2006 of lung cancer. Her lawyers did not immediately return phone calls, and there was no listing for her. Murray Garnick of Philip Morris's parent company, Altria Group Incorporated, says the jury determined the cigarettes were not defective, and Francis was responsible for his own smoking decisions. A Juneau man faces an additional charge for a fish and game-related violation in Alaska. 61-year-old Michael W. Doobie has already run afoul of Montana Fish and Game authorities for poaching there. His son, 37-year-old Michael Patrick Doobie, was also convicted on the Montana charges and is awaiting sentencing on federal charges related to shooting migratory birds in Alaska and selling their parts on the Internet. Now, Alaska wildlife troopers have charged the elder Doobie with providing guide services without a license. According to charging documents, Doobie was working for his son's company, Fish Hunter Charters, as a license guide in 2007. Investigators say he then guided a saltwater sport fish charter April 28, 2008, while on his son's boat, the Brody. He did not have a valid license in his possession and listed his 2007 license number in the vessel's logbook. Michael W. Doobie then allegedly told investigators that his 2008 license was late in coming and he guided on a temporary license. But investigators allege that he did not even apply for the 2008 license until April 30th, 2 days after that charter trip. The charging documents filed last week specifically mentioned that the son, Michael Patrick Doobie, was also under investigation for illegal guiding activity, but state prosecutors have not yet filed any charges against him. Arraignment for the elder Doobie is planned for December 8th in Juneau District Court. And state troopers say they've also issued citations to a pair of Sitka sport fish guides for a set of violations there. Troopers allege that four clients were taken out on a chartered trip with Big Blue Fisheries on a vessel that was not registered to sport fish guide. 34-year-old Robert L. Warren was charged for failing to register the vessel and failing to obtain a sport fish guide logbook. 55-year-old Michael R. Keating was charged with two counts of sport fish guide operator assistance in violation. Troopers believe that Keating, owner of Big Blue Fisheries, had Warren take out the clients on a boat that Keating knew was unregistered and did not have logbooks assigned. Both men were charged on Tuesday, but it's unclear when the alleged violations actually occurred. Their arraignment is scheduled for November 29th. The U.S. House has approved a measure that would allow the decommissioned historic Coast Guard cutter Storrs to possibly become a floating memorial and museum here in Juneau. Now the legislation moves on to the U.S. Senate for their consideration. Congressman Don Young's office says the action came Tuesday, along with a measure that authorizes the services spending for fiscal years 2012 through 2014. Spending would total just under $8.5 billion and increase to $8.7 billion over those 3 years for the Coast Guard. That larger funding bill also decommissions the Coast Guard's two heavy-duty icebreakers. That's something that Young says came out of frustration of the administration's inability to prioritize icebreaking needs, and he believes it forces the administration's hand. Young says he's also introduced a measure that allows the service to lease icebreakers. The Storrs legislation is House Resolution 1220. It was incorporated into the House Resolution 2838 that was approved by the House on Tuesday. Young gave Interior Secretary Ken Salazar a piece of his mind on the Obama administration's energy policy yesterday, but did so relatively gently. telling Salazar that he's not the real problem in Washington, D.C.
You're not as guilty, though, as other agencies within this administration. I do think you've made some steps forward. But I will tell you, you're not the only player in town. You've got EPA and Lisa Jackson. An organization is trying to subvert your authority, and they will probably do it because they got more clout in the White House. So the energy program the Obama administration has is nothing.
Young tried to drive his point home by showing up late into the hearing wearing a beanie hat on his head. It was topped by a propeller and sported a pin that said Obama's energy plan.
As you see, my hat that I'm wearing, I'm supporting the Obama energy program. It's called a propeller. Because there is no energy program.
Young did not further explain the beanie hat that he was wearing, but he kept it on the whole time. He questioned Salazar about roadblocks to oil and gas development and drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Young says he's concerned about how seriously the Obama administration will weigh public input on the future of ANWR because he's worried it could sway them against development. Tuesday marked the end of the public comment period on a management plan for the Arctic Refuge. It includes a recommendation that the coastal plain be designated as wilderness. The environmental group Alaska Wilderness League says more than 850,000 people submitted comments to U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service asking that it be off limits from oil and gas drilling. And Young says those should not weigh as heavily as the comments of pro-drilling Alaskans.
What bothers me, I understand, is certain national environmental groups have garnered 1 million signatures recommending wilderness status on the coastal plain.
Young said he suspects the signatures go with the form letters.
This is 1 million signatures. Are you going to listen to that, or are you going to listen to the Alaskans?
It is very important for us on our entire conservation agenda, Congressman Young, to make sure that we are listening to the local communities. And so Alaska is a world unto itself in terms of its beauty and its potential. And as you may have noted in the Wilderness and National Conservation Report that we sent to Congress, I did not include anything in there on Alaska because Alaska has its own unique set of circumstances that need to be considered.
Secretary Salazar repeated his position that drilling in the Arctic Refuge is, in his words, not appropriate. Young and Salazar exchanged lighthearted banter throughout the hearing, but some other Republicans on the House Natural Resources Committee hammered Salazar on issues ranging from gas fracking in the lower 48 to the failed solar company Solyndra that received government loans to prayers at national parks. He was there to talk about Obama administration's oil and gas plan.